You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. You know, your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What is up, Bison fans, and welcome to Bison After Dark and Bison Unscripted. Not a lot of you may know, we usually outline these shows so that we can kind of keep on topic as well and as long as we are able. But it's 10:42 at night, and I am in Horace, which is still 15 minutes away from where I live. So Nate and I are going to get this show out. This show, by the way, brought to you by the good folks at Herd and Horns. We're going to get this show out. We're going to get this thing ready, edited, bottled up, ready to pop right away in the morning. But we're just going to kind of shoot off the cuff. So, Nate, I want to first go back in time, if you will, to the South Dakota State game. Because, and I don't have the direct quote. I don't have, you know, exactly what he said. But Coach Richmond said something along the lines after that loss at South Dakota State, a close loss game they probably should have won, that he had no doubt that they can be the team they need to be. What were your takeaways from that game down in Brookings?
You know, it's hard to take a loss and say that, but I completely agree with them. I thought NDSU, I mean, we went into that game like 10-point underdogs, not given much of a chance to win that game just because of how good South Dakota State was playing. But people forget that NDSU had first-place votes preseason and have somewhat underachieved with a couple unexpected losses here in the conference season. But I think the way they played Saturday, the way they defended, they are a pretty good matchup against SDSU, and I know they've had their way shooting the ball really well. But I think their game plan of making SDSU shoot two-point shots the whole game and taking away their three-point shot, SDSU pulls away from teams when they can get hot from three. And that's what makes them really, really good in averaging. They're around 85 to 88 points a game, I think, one of the top teams in the country scoring-wise. If you can make them shoot twos for the whole game and play a good offensive game like NDSU played, you're going to have a chance in the end. And NDSU just came up a couple plays short on the road, but I thought that they had a really good game plan going into that game and proved that they're just as talented as South Dakota State, even though the standings might not say that.
Yeah, and you know, it's something that, like, we mentioned and Coach, you know, brought it up. And look, like he said, he's not trying to play the victim, but this was the first game, and I would say, you know, full strength is, there's an asterisk by that, because Grant Nelson, 23 minutes, 0 points. Like, he didn't look like Grant Nelson. But this was the first time they had all 14 guys available. You know, Ty Remus is the first few games. Then, you know, Sam has his internal bleeding issue. Then they lose Malik for a little bit. Then they lose Coleman for a little bit. Then they lose Morgan for a lot of it. You know, this is, and look, every team in the country deals with a, you know, sprained ankle here or there, or some, you know, somebody blows out an ACL, whatever. But this Bison team has played one game with all 14 guys available, and it was tonight, and it was clunky, man. You know, Morgan lost 17 pounds. He's out there hitting fadeaways. Grant Nelson is still working back from a bone bruise, not quite looking like himself. But there is an explanation for why this team hasn't looked like the team we thought it could preseason. But, hey, you know, there they are. I'm gonna just quick, this is great radio, but I'm going to pull up on my end here the Summit League standings, because I think they're basically tied or working towards tied with the Oral Roberts team. They're half game back. They're one game back in the loss column because Oral Roberts just dipped to 9-3. I believe they just took the L to UMKC, and they're likely to, you know, they're going to end up with the North Dakota State and South Dakota State finish. They've got to play both teams twice. If NDSU can take care of business, but can specifically win that home game coming up against ORU, they're gonna look really, really, really good as far as that two seed is concerned, because they have the win in Tulsa, and that is absolutely huge. And I would just, even, you know, kind of an early stage, get folks understanding how big that game is going to be, how huge and how important it's going to be to try and pack the shack that night. Because, look, crazy things happen in the Summit League all the time. You know, we see it a lot. I would categorize NDSU's loss at home to Western Illinois as one of those crazy things. I would certainly categorize whatever in God's name happened to them at UMKC as another crazy thing that happens in the Summit League. But that game on February 17th at home against Oral Roberts is likely to be for quite a few marbles. I don't think anybody's going to catch SDSU. I think they're going to be the one seed. I think they're going to get the NIT bid, all those things. But that game on February 17th is going to be massive.
Yeah, and I think you're exactly right. I think that game ultimately will decide the two seed if teams take care of business. NDSU has a really favorable schedule here to end. Tonight was the first of three home games. And then you go on the road for Western and St. Thomas. And then you got two more home games, and you end with UND, who doesn't look like they want to win a game in the Summit League. And Oral Roberts still has North Dakota State on the road. They got South Dakota State. They got South Dakota, who's a decent team. And I think the chips are falling. That I don't think anyone expected Western to beat Oral Roberts at Oral Roberts tonight. And I think that kind of solidified that game next week is going to, or on the 17th, is going to be for that two seed, which is huge for a team like NDSU, who's been banged up all year. If they get that first win, they get that extra day of rest and can refocus and be ready to win two games in 2 days. But yeah, Oral Roberts seems like they're riding and dying with Asemus. He got off to a really slow start tonight. They got down over 20. They came back and ended up losing by 5. But it's still going to be a tough team because he can win it by himself if he needs to. Yeah. And he's shown that the past two seasons now. And I'm you talked about being healthy, and it you get banged up throughout the year, but teams don't not have their whole roster for the whole year except tonight in February. So get those guys in the groove. Morgan's obviously got some conditioning stuff that he'll want to get back into shape, get eaten like he did, get some of that weight back. Grant's still working his way back. We got a whole month here to get ready, and let's win some games in the meantime and get that 2-seed. I think that'll be really important.
It will be. And I think it also puts, Nate, a lot of pressure on at McComb, because you lost that game at home. You probably weren't looking to lose to McComb or lose to Western at home. You know, I mean, I think you talk about taking the L at home to South Dakota State, and you go, whatever, that was one possession game. Should have had it, didn't get it, move on with your lives. Losing an overtime at home to Western is what has put this two seed thing in kind of a bind and sort of a, you know, questionable situation. Is you lose that game, and that's kind of the weird, you know, bonus game that you dropped, because you collapse at Kansas City. That's fine. You know, you're probably expecting, with a 9-game road schedule, you can probably go 5-4 on the road, or maybe 6-3 on the road if you get really hot. You don't expect, though, to lose more than probably the one home game, and they did. And that was to Western Illinois. So, you know, being able to go out to McComb and beat that Western team that's a lot friskier than everybody thought. And you know, revenge is an odd word, but get a little bit of that in the sense that, you know, they need to go out and grab that win to sort of lock in the idea that Oral Roberts is going to be for the Oral Roberts game is going to be for the two seed. Granted, you cannot overlook South Dakota. I would guess Denver's going to be a little gassed after their overtime win at UND, which was a collapse by the Fighting Hawks that truly epic. I think you said they're up 17 or 19 with 9 minutes left. A crazy loss by UND. But you cannot overlook South Dakota on Monday. It's a team that gave you trouble down in Vermilion. They can give you trouble up here. NDSU hasn't been as bulletproof at home. You know, as we've seen in the past, you talk about tonight, you know, that was a team that was let hang around. They were 16, 17 point favorites against the UND. That game got dicey. And that was a game where, you know, that's a UND team. We find out now just isn't any good. You know, they're bad. And NDSU couldn't put them away. There needs to be a little bit more of a foot on the gas at home.
Yeah. It's something we haven't seen in the past few years. They've kind of come in and take care of business at home and had a winning record on the road, which led to their conference season being the 1, 2, or 3 seed. The Denver team, they were up, UND was up 17 with like 9:30 left and ended up losing that game to a mediocre to really bad Denver team. They're 0-11 in the league is tough and 4-20 overall. Yeah, Denver's played a lot better. I don't think we can come in. They're going to be like an Omaha team who's started off really bad and wasn't expected to do much, but they're playing better as the season has gone along. And it would be nice on Saturday to just jump on a team and keep the foot on the gas and win by 15-20 and get into your bench a little bit. They do have 3 games here in 5 days. I mean, you got South Dakota coming in on Monday, I believe. So it would be nice to go get a nice win, get some bench players, some experience. You never know when you're going to need them again. And get your big three with Edie, Griesel, and Cruiser to play 25, 28 minutes and get ready for a game on Monday when they got a tough South Dakota team who's – it's always a defensive battle. And I did see on Twitter today, Putzawhite's practicing. So we don't know when he's going to be coming back. I don't know if South Dakota waits until the conference tournament, maybe with them being out of the first place race. But that's something to keep an eye on too.
It is. I mean, they have some bigs that can shoot that I think would be fun with him in a pick and pop. They've got, you know, wing guys and Peril Hunt that have kind of risen up, you know, and look, I don't think you're going to get 100% of AJ Plitzewhite until next season, as far as like what the kind of player he can be. But man, if you can get even 10, 12, 14, 16 minutes of AJ Plitzewhite, that'd be big. He is that dynamic, or at least, you know, he certainly was that dynamic. I really, really liked him as a player. Dave, you know, recruited him twice, tried to get him out of high school, tried to get him when he hit the portal. It is, however, tough when your mom is the women's coach and a very, very, very successful women's coach at that in Don Plitzewhite there at USD. That was always going to be an uphill battle for Coach Richmond. Let's get into tonight. I think it's going to be so important, Nate, is the depth of this team. You saw Strite get like one little run there. McKinney, I think the hope is you get up big maybe on Saturday and get Willie in there or Mordez. Not only people know about the three games in 5 days, they got to turn around after Monday and play Thursday at Macomb and then play Saturday again. Like, this is a lot of basketball in kind of a truncated period of time. And so that's I think why gapping some of these teams and getting Strite in there and potentially, you know, whatever, Calm and Guy, I don't care. You know, get a 28-minute night for Tyree. Get a 26-minute night for Rocky if you can find one and still get a dub and get a comfortable dub, because, man, you talk about 3 games in 5 days, 4 games in 10 days. You know, maybe even 4 games in 9 days, I suppose. It gets to be a lot, man. It's going to be five games in 10 days.
10 and 4 and 7 days.
Yeah. Oof, man, it's a lot of hoops, you know, and I think coach was, you know, pretty reasonable tonight with minutes. You know, I think they did a good enough job as far as, you know, some spread you get. Nobody going absolutely nuts. Tyree with 35 was the high, but they got 7 minutes of bench time, you know, for Sam. They got 15 minutes of bench time for Rocky, which is, of course, possible when you have 11 from Morgan and 23 from Grant Nelson. But being able to sit Sam and Tyree, and like I said, that means you got to have more than 7 minutes from Des McKinney, or you need 8 minutes from Coleman, or you need 6 minutes from Willie Guy. And that is going to be important for the legs of these young men. And look, Jason Miller does a fantastic job, but I still think it's important.
Yeah. And Sam has the ball in his hands a lot of the time, and he's expending a lot of energy being the primary ball handler. And you want him to be able to make plays late in the shot clock, late in the game. And it's tough playing 33 minutes when you're expected to make plays like him. It could be why he was 7 of 12 from the line. I don't know. That seems more like a mental thing, but that could be legs too, and just some mental fatigue there. Like I said earlier, yeah, if we can get them to have a game or two, like against a Denver or a St. Thomas, where they can get to the 25, 28 minute range and get into that bench, there's going to be times where there could be foul trouble. You could have a nagging injury where a guy's got to sit a game, and you need those guys confident and comfortable to throw in there in big situations possibly. So I think you're spot on with getting those guys some extra minutes. And once Sioux Falls comes, I know that bench is going to get tighter and tighter because it's lose or go home. Right. So, right. But just to have that insurance policy that you can go to those guys and trust them. And getting them in some situations here.
But I tell you what, man, like, I think, you know, you talk about the tight bench in Sioux Falls. I still think it's 9 because, and I'll explain myself. You're not going to remove Bowden from the rotation. He's starting, you know, playing 30 minutes right now. You're not going to remove Nelson from the rotation. You're not going to remove Malik. You're not going to sit Malik. He had 13 minutes tonight. You know, his role seems to be shrinking, which I do and I don't love. You know, I mean, I get that you want heavy minutes out of Tyree, and, you know, on a night when Malik wasn't crazy productive, you know, 4 points, 1 steal, you know, no assists and no rebounds. Still, though, you know, he's a young man who's going to be a huge part of the program, in my opinion, next year. And I'd like to see him get more minutes. But what I'm saying is you've got Nelson, Harden, Hayes, and Morgan that are all going to be a part of something. And you can't or shouldn't go all 40 with Sam, which means somebody has to play backup point guard, and that somebody is going to be Des McKinney or Willie Guy. Either way, I just don't see any way around a 9-man rotation unless they're going to have Tyree play some point guard. I don't see any way around a 9-man rotation in Sioux Falls. Do you?
Yeah, I think the 8.5 is what Dave likes to do. But like you said, you got to give Sam a break at some point. He's not playing 40 minutes, and maybe Jarius could bring the ball up a little bit. He, after having a good stretch there, I think middle of the non-conference season to early in the conference season, he's kind of had his minutes diminish a little bit. He hasn't quite been the aggressive spark that he was early on in the year. He's a guy that can get hot. I think if he's one of those X factor players, I think him and Bowden are two guys that have really shown that they can do it in spurts. I think Bowden's obviously been a little more comfortable. Once Sioux Falls hits, and Grant's fully healthy, I see Grant possibly maybe going in for Cook in that spot and going with a little bigger lineup, but we'll see. I think you're right with 9. Dez is going to keep getting backup point guard minutes. It all depends on how long Richmond wants to sit Griesel, but I think those two need to be the primary point guard ball handlers. And if you want to give Sam a little bit more of a blow, I think Willie's more than capable of doing that, or Coleman. They're not going to give you too much, but hopefully they can come in and just take care of the ball and just eat up some minutes there.
Well, right, like 4 minutes, you know, 4 minutes in the first half and 3 to 4 minutes in the second half, and all of a sudden you've got Sam down to a, you know, 90, you know, like a 30 to 32 minute evening, which he can handle that. And I'm sure he'd tell you he can handle 40. I'm sure he'd tell you got no problem with that. But, you know, the long-term goal is cutting down the nets. And that's something that, you know, fresh legs certainly help. Talk to me about the next two. We'll get probably back in the lab here on Tuesday, if that works for you, Nate. And maybe a Tuesday afternoon release or a Wednesday release. So we'll just preview. We'll leave what's going on next week alone. But let's talk about certainly first this Denver team that's coming to town on Saturday. We just mentioned the ridiculous victory that they had up in Grand Forks. That was a team, man. You know, you talk about Denver and you talk about that locale. And that was a sad one for me because I was supposed to be in Denver for the Thursday game. They got moved to Monday. It was all the weekend of the FCS National Championship game. They put it on these guys, man. Rocky at 24-9. They do not have the size to mess with Rocky specifically. But Rocky at 24-9. Sam had 14-7. Bowden with 11 points, even though he struggled shooting it from the field a little bit. They just absolutely laid into these guys. They were up 44-23 at half. It was, you know, just not a contest. And it's tough sometimes. You'll go out there, you play at elevation, and not everything goes your way. Why is Denver a little bit more dangerous this time around?
Yeah, I mean, if we're going by common opponents here in recent games, I mean, Denver beat UMKC on the road by 8. They beat this Omaha team at home that we played the night by 31. About 10 days ago. So, I mean, they're more than capable. They have some guys that are starting to play better. I believe the Hunt player had over 30 tonight. He had 32 tonight against UND, playing all 40 minutes. So or 40 of the 45, I should say. So
he'll be tired.
We'll see how tired he is on Saturday. It seems Denver wanted to go get a road split and they put everything in tonight thinking NDSU is a little bit of a tougher game, but they're playing a lot better. And NDSU really did put it to them in Denver.
Yeah.
Put it on them early and did what we want them to do now at home and just kind of put a team away and didn't let them really sniff ever being close. Yeah. I mean, it's a rebuilding team with a new coach and we knew they were going to at least get a little bit better if the coach was any good, and they're showing that. It's not necessarily showing it in the win column consistently, but it's a team that we can't overlook and need to put it to right away and do what we did on the road and not let them really sniff being close or think that they can win that game.
Absolutely, and it's funny, or maybe funny is not the right word, but the two, you know, games that you really, really, really feel good about this season are road games. Except I guess they really smack St. Thomas, but you know, I don't know how much you put into that, but that win at Oral Roberts and just drilling Denver are pretty easily their most important, you know, most impressive performances of the conference schedule. Other than, you know, you could argue the close loss in Brookings, because, you know, didn't play the way they probably wanted to play against UND. That tight win looks worse and worse every day. You have the terrible loss at Kansas City. You have the loss at home against Western Illinois. And you know, you having to go to overtime against the Yotes. You kind of go on and on. And like I said, just the conference schedule is not, you know, that impressive. And like you mentioned, you want to see them smack somebody at home and you're going to get your opportunity. You're going to get, you know, opportunities for, you know, the game against Oral Roberts. You're going to get a quote unquote opportunity for revenge on senior day against Kansas City. And you've got that Denver game and that South Dakota game. Talk to me about USD. This is obviously a team that we've seen very recently, took the Bison to overtime. I was really impressed with Cruz Perahunt. I didn't think much of him coming into the season, and I don't think anybody did. You know, he was a guy that was very much, kind of a role guy, with, of course, Comateros, Amude, Plitzewite taking a ton of the shots on last year's squad. But he has really become, you know, kind of a go-to guy. Mason Archambault, very, very good player. Excellent free throw shooter, was 8 for 8 that night. But as I think either leading the conference or very close, they were tough. You know, you saw 42 minutes for Sam, 36 for Tyree, 37 for Rocky. They went to Vermillion knowing they needed to get a dub. And so that's why, you know, I'm cautioning folks, be locked in on Monday night. That's a real game against a real Summit League team.
Yeah, and they've played well all year. They're going to defend you. They now have four players averaging in double figures, so they're going to come at you with multiple different options. And I think what might help NDSU is if they can take care of Denver. I mean, South Dakota's playing South Dakota State Saturday, so you got one day in between South Dakota State and then traveling up to Fargo. So they probably won't have too much preparation besides that they just played pretty recently. But it's the dog days of February, and teams are going to have to buckle in and be mentally tough. But, yeah, it's an opponent that always seems to defend and play close games with NDSU. I don't know if NDSU's really taken it to South Dakota in recent years. It's been some close games, and South Dakota's even gotten the better of us a few times. Xavier Fuller, Pearl Hunt, Archambault's playing good. Comateros is now averaging 10 a game. He was a preseason all-conference pick and is their fourth leading scorer. So I think the reason NDSU got the win in South Dakota was just bench depth. I mean, South Dakota, I believe we said, had 2 bench points, and it was from the free throw line. So playing South Dakota State on Saturday with not much of a bench and then trying to come to Fargo, I think NDSU's hopefully can have some fresh legs and really be aggressive and put it to them from the start on Monday.
Totally agree. And they need to get it done, as far as they have to scratch these two into the win column, get through the weekend at 9-4. I don't know as though you're incredibly concerned about Oral Roberts with this home game against St. Thomas, but still, man, you just never know in the Summit League. And what Oral Roberts doesn't have anymore, and I think they're gonna beat St. Thomas. They smacked them in the Twin Cities. But St. Thomas scares the teams that play small. And they go to NDSU and get whacked, and they'll probably get whacked when NDSU goes down there because of length. And without O'Banner, Oral Roberts just doesn't have length anymore, period. And so it's interesting. And I think that's probably why Western gave them so much trouble is because of, the fact that that's a true two big roster that Rob Jeter's got there. And he's doing a great job of turning around a program, man, that, hasn't had a lot of times that aren't dark out there in Macomb. You know, that's been an 8th seed team in the Summit League tournament year after year after year. You know, sometimes 7, most of the time 8, and they're a threat. Obviously, they got wins over Oral Roberts and win over NDSU. They are a threat.
Yeah, I think their last good team was my senior year when they had Ciola Clark, Terrell Parks, and were the 2 seed in that Summit League tournament. And
that's right.
And I forget the coach's name. He was at Nebraska for a little bit with Miles. They've proven that they can score with anyone on any given night if they're hitting their shots. They have multiple different options. They killed NDSU inside with those 2 bigs, and they're a team if they're in that 4-5 range, could go get hot and give SDSU a run too with those 2 bigs, because they can guard Douglas Wilson and Dantlinger and at least match up with them. That'll be a big one. If we can get this home win and get to Western, I always hated playing in Macomb. It's a tough place to play. There's just nothing there. There's going to be no crowd. It's just one of those you got to kind of get yourself motivated for. But it's going to be interesting, this conference run. There's a pretty big log jam there in that 3-5 and 6 range, maybe just 3-5, with UMKC, South Dakota, and NDSU right now. If we take care of what we need to take care of, we're gonna be in position to be the 2 seed. But we still got to take care of business. Like you said, some funky things can happen, and you just got to take it one game at a time. And they call it the dog days of February. I've mentioned it all the time, but these are the times when you got to take care of your bodies and be ready to play on any given night, because some team can get hot and you got to be ready.
Yeah, the Massner story is wild to me. I mean, truly wild. Plays at Southeastern Community College and averages 8.5 points per game as a freshman in community college, in JUCO. Then goes to D2 Northwestern State and averages a very respectable, 13 a game. Yeah, 13 a game, 13.1 points per game, which led Northwestern State in scoring. That's fine. And then transfers back up to Western Illinois and Northwestern. I think that's actually the one of Louisiana. So that's Southland ball. That is D1. Because, yeah, they played against – I'm sorry, I misspoke. That is Division I. So he's a D1 transfer. But now he's averaging 17 a game. He gave the Bison 30 and then turned around and gave the Jackrabbits 24. He gave Denver 31 earlier this year as well. I mean, he has just been absolutely electric. By the way, he gave the Huskers of Nebraska 21 in their season opener. He has been – so much better than he was at his other two stops. It's kind of wild. But anyway, Nate, I want to take, we did ask for questions and we got one. So I'm going to read this one off from Blake. Coach Richmond said after the game, they need to play more disciplined and focused. To me, it almost seems like they're trying so hard. The fun is gone. Almost uptight, wants our thoughts, and said they also seem to play to their opponent, up for big games down versus lesser teams. I'd like to see them play wide open. I'll take this one and then kind of kick it back over to you. As far as playing wide open, it's the same criticism of Coach Richmond that has always existed. And it's they do not play South Dakota State basketball. They are not going to lead the country in three-point field goal percentage. They are not going to score 91 points a game. It is not going to happen. But, Nate, please remind me how many – Summit League tournament wins Eric Henderson has.
I can probably count them on one hand.
No, the answer is one.
Okay. One finger. Sorry.
Yeah. So, I mean, cause they went out in the first round twice in a row and they beat barely beat their first round opponent in Sioux Falls last year. And then they lost Oral Roberts, who then obviously won that game, won two games in the tournament. Everybody knows that, yada, yada. The point is that the defensive system that Coach Richmond employs in his seven completed seasons as the head coach has got them two runners up and three Summit League championships. They're gonna just do it that way, and I get that it's not sexy, and that it, you know, the high flying stuff is few and far between. Although Malik gave us a little bit a couple weeks ago, it's just their style. As far as the up to, you know, good opponents and down to bad opponents, yes and no. Their performance against Power Five opponents this year was atrocious. They weren't very up for those games. But as far as, you know, like the conference and stuff, I agree. I mean, I thought they played very, very good basketball against South Dakota State. I think they got up for those games. I think they got up for Oral Roberts. And I do think that they played down to Omaha tonight. They played down to Omaha in Omaha. They certainly played down to UND. I do think a lot of that, as we've mentioned, it has to do with the team only having all 14 guys available today, literally for the first time ever. Today, they've had all 14 guys that they're, you know, available. But I don't know as though they were that ready to play against Western Illinois, or they were that mentally locked in to play against Western Illinois. I thought they, you know, I kind of thought they felt like they could roll the ball out there and do whatever. I thought they kind of, I don't know that they took Western Illinois for granted, but they'd never lost a Western at home. You know, I think they just thought, we wear the green and yellow, we're in the shack, we're going to knock these guys out. So I do get that. It's the one thing, though, that I will disagree with strongly is the trying so hard, the fun is gone. I'm fortunate enough to, you know, be around these guys when they're talking, because by the time we're done with coach and whoever the players were for the press conference and stuff, by the time I get back to my stuff, the guys are hanging around with their families, you know, chatting, guys getting shots up afterwards, whatever. This is a team that loves each other, and is very, very tight as a group, and they have a ton of fun. Jokes. I mean, being around this group of guys, Coach Richmond is not sucking the fun out of the room, and that may not even be what you're saying, but they're having plenty of fun. I promise you that. Plus, you know what's really fun? Winning. And that is something that this group has done a ton of. A lot of these guys were part of two Summit League championships and a Summit League runner-up to Oral Roberts. They're having plenty of fun. Nate, any thoughts on that question?
Yeah, I think the discipline part that he's talking about and Richmond was talking about, I mean, there's been some games here with the turnovers. I mean, 16 tonight, yeah. It can't happen against Omaha. And they had 20 in the first game against Omaha. And that could partly be the reason you're looking at your opponent. I think this team has too much experience to think that they can just go into a game and just roll. But it's easier said than done also. And I think these guys a little bit need to realize that, I mean, NDSU has been a winning program pretty much since they've been in the Summit League. I know there were a couple down years. I think probably when my freshman and sophomore year were kind of some down years. But they have a target on their back. When teams come to Fargo or play NDSU, they know that they're playing one of the best teams in the conference, and they're going to come with their best shot. And these guys need to be prepared for that. And I think we have enough discipline. I just think we get a little lackadaisical and need to clean up the turnovers a little bit. And I think that's what Dave was talking about post game. I know he doesn't like looking at 16 turnovers. As far as the flashy style, it's just not Dave. He's built on defense. He's always going to be built on defense because your offense isn't going to win you every single game. You could have a great offensive game and absolutely suck on defense, and you can't win. So it starts with defense, and he's going to work on having an efficient offense that doesn't turn over the ball, that hits open shots, that can take some time off the clock and make it a half-court game, because – you're not going to win a game in March trying to outscore a high major to get an upset. You need to be able to defend. And that's a big reason why they beat Oklahoma a few years ago. They were able to defend when they needed to. And hopefully you can get some guys that can hit some threes. Yeah.
Won the first four game against NC Central. I mean, that was big. And that's something too, Nate, like before we get things wrapped up, that I just want to talk about. Right now, North Dakota State has an average turnover margin of -3 per game. They are turning it over 12.6 times a game and only forcing 9.6 turnovers. And look, their 12.6 turnovers per game is only third worst in the conference, which is not good. But their margin of -3 is last, 10th, period. That's tough. And I get the way that David plays defense, the way that this team is taught to play defense. They are not jumping passing lanes. They are not pressuring the ball. They are forcing you to shoot bad shots, and then they will rebound those shots. That is what they are trying to do, and that is why they are second in the league defensively from a points per game's perspective, and second in the league in the opponent's field goal percentage as well, and right there, you know, just about to be number one in the league. So they do it a little bit differently but that turnover number, being third in the league, is not good, especially when you have as many senior leaders as North Dakota State. And I think back to Blake's question, that is something that you can use the D word and talk about discipline when you are kind of struggling to do that. All right, Nate, thank you so much, man. It's 11:20 at night. We really appreciate any of you folks that are listening. Obviously, this isn't live. You're getting this in the morning, but we appreciate you. You know, going with us while Nate and I are a little bit on empty, certainly rocking Unscripted right now. Nate, I appreciate you. We appreciate, as always, our sponsors, the good people over there at Hurt and Horns. We appreciate Nate Zastro. We will be back early on next week with another episode all about Bison basketball. Oh. All right, man.